kill.
It's Murder Monday on the Joe and Alex Show. Listener discretion is advised.
The reason, if you're new here, that we freak you out with these disturbing, terrifying stories is to draw attention to Crime Stoppers. Crime Stoppers allows you to give tips on local crimes in your area completely anonymously. And if you have a tip, no matter how small, on any case, could be a cold case, could be something that just happened recently, they want you to share it with them. You will be completely protected. Call 1-800-222-TIPS. That's 1-800-222-TIPS. That is the National Crime Stoppers hotline number. So we are talking about the presumed murder of Susan Powell today. Most people would agree that the people you are supposed to be able to count on the most in life is your family. But in December of 2009, 28-year-old wife and mother Susan Powell disappears, and soon the entire state of Utah will have their eyes on Susan's husband, Josh Powell. Susan and Josh get married at an LDS church in 2004, right outside of Salt Lake City in the suburb of West Valley City. They also have two little boys together. They have Charles Joshua, who's 7, and Braden Timothy, who's only 5. Not too long after they're married, Susan starts keeping track of some pretty serious marriage problems she's having with Josh. She starts emailing her friends about his extremely controlling behavior and even says that he has out-of-control spending habits. By 2007, Josh racks up over $200,000 in debt and declares bankruptcy. A year later, Susan starts taking even stranger precautions. She actually records a video that shows property damage around the house and claims that it's from Josh, and she writes a secret will that says, "I want it documented that there is extreme turmoil in our marriage, and if I die, it may not be an accident, even if it looks like one." Then, on a cold Monday morning in December, Susan's mom and sister come to the Powell house to look for them because they were told that the boys hadn't been dropped off at daycare that morning. They call the police, and when the police get there, no one is answering the door. So they bust the door open in case they're in trouble from carbon monoxide poisoning. But they find no one inside. There is, however, two fans blowing on a wet spot on the carpet inside the house. Not only do the kids not show up to daycare, but Susan doesn't show up to work. Her purse, wallet, and identification are all in the house, and they find Susan's cell phone later in the family's only vehicle, a minivan that Josh had been using. So 5 p.m. rolls around, and Josh rolls up in the van with the boys, but no Susan, and is immediately taken to the police station for questioning. Josh says he left Susan sleeping at home shortly after midnight and had taken his boys on a camping trip in the mountains in western Utah. It's freaking December, mind you. Massive snow action is happening, and it's midnight on a Sunday night. Police even go to this campsite where he said it was. They don't see any evidence that Susan had been there. So, you know, that's not a good sign. The police definitely think it's suspicious that Josh would also take his young boys camping after midnight on a school night when he was scheduled to go also himself work at his job just hours later, too. And he hadn't told his boss that he wouldn't be coming into work that day. He tells police the reason why he didn't give anyone a notice is because he thought it was a Saturday and not a Sunday. I mean, what? Investigators find traces of Susan's blood on the floor in the house and discover life insurance policies on Susan for $1.5 million. They also find another handwritten letter from Susan expressing fear for her life. While she's missing, Josh liquidates her retirement accounts, cancels her regularly scheduled chiropractor sessions, withdraws the boys from daycare, and speaks to coworkers about how to hide a body in an abandoned mine shaft in the western Utah desert. Police also interview the oldest child, Charlie, and he tells them that Susan did go on the camping trip with them, but never came back. Charlie's teacher also says that Charlie refers to his mom as dead. Susan's parents claim that while at daycare several months after the disappearance, Braden, the younger boy, drew a picture of a van with three people in it and said mommy was in the trunk. I mean, I've got freaking chills right now. So Josh gets fed up with the whole town thinking that he's guilty. So he moves the boys to Washington State to live with his dad and siblings. And Josh and one of his brothers start saying that Susan left the family because she suffered from mental illness and met another guy. Susan's family says, okay, you know what? That's total crap. Then this website is set up, SusanPowell.org, which is supposed to be the official website of Susan Powell, and there are tons of anonymous entries defending Josh as the victim of a smear campaign by Susan's family. His sister, Jennifer, by the way, thinks he's totally guilty, so she's on Susan's family's side. And the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints also is like, there's something weird going on here. But they're blaming it on all of them. Susan's family, the church, and Josh is blaming it on his sister. So here's where things get even crazier. Investigators then start to focus on Josh's dad because they learn he is infatuated with Susan. Like, I'm talking Joe from You type stuff, but 10 times worse. Just wait. They find over 4,500 pictures of Susan on his computer that he took of her without her knowing. He has close-ups of specific body parts. He was posting love songs about her online under a pseudonym, and get ready for it, he stole her used feminine products from her trash and kept them.
Ugh. No!
Police end up arresting Stephen, who is Josh's dad, with voyeurism and child pornography charges because, in addition to pics of Susan, police find evidence that this dude videotaped tons of young women and girls. And police tell Josh, look, if you want to keep custody of your boys, then you're going to have to move out of your dad's house. So what happens next is so unexpected and so shocking. It might be the most shocking ending in Murder Monday history. We continue next on the Joe and Alex Show. So we left off with police telling Josh Powell that if he wants to keep custody of his two boys, ages 7 and 5, that he'll have to move out of his creepy dad's house. At this point, the disappearance of Susan Powell, more than $500,000 is spent trying to find her. They cannot find her. She's just vanished. Josh has now hightailed it to Washington State, and it's recommended that Josh can still see his kids as long as the visits are supervised. By the way, right away, right when they say this, investigators find about 400 images of simulated child pornography, which means it was all cartoon on Josh's computer. So his dad had stuff, but now they're finding stuff on Josh's. They find images and videos depicting bestiality and incest and child pornography. But what is truly wild is that because the pictures were like cartoons and hand-drawn, they were like 3D cartoon format, they weren't illegal. This is how he got around this. So they can't necessarily take the kids away, which is nuts, but it is recommended that he undergoes a psychosexual evaluation and polygraph test, but the court says there will be no change in the visitation schedule with the Powell boys. Susan, by the way, has now been missing for 3 years, and it is February of 2012. A social worker has a scheduled visit with Josh and the boys at his house. She brings the boys herself, and as they're walking up the sidewalk to the front door, she hears Josh yell to the boys that he has a surprise for them. So the boys sprint ahead, and just as she is about to step in the front door with them, Josh slams it and locks it. She's banging on the door. She knows that he is crazy, and she knows the little boys are in danger. And that is when she hears the boys screaming bloody murder. She starts calling 911 and tells them that Josh is going to kill his kids. She tells them that the story that his wife has been missing now for 3 years, that people are pretty sure he killed her. She tells 911 she can hear their screaming, but she cannot get in. And that's when she smells gas. She runs to her car and drives a little bit up the road, still calling 911 because 911 isn't taking her calls seriously. They're telling her that they've got a lot going on and that they'll get there when they get there. As the social worker is on the phone, the house explodes. Josh had deliberately planned the entire thing to kill himself and his boys. After he got the boys inside, he took an axe to the back of their heads. Then he poured gasoline on the entire house, set it on fire, killing everyone inside. Friends and relatives of Josh told authorities that he had contacted them by email minutes before the explosion to say goodbye. Some of them, including his pastor, got instructions about finding his money and shutting off his utilities. Records also showed that he had withdrawn $7,000 from his bank account and had donated his kids' toys and books to local charities the day before the incident. So he was like, I know that these kids are not going to be around anymore. Let me get rid of all their stuff. One of his brothers actually killed himself a year later by jumping off a building. And authorities think that that brother might have been an accomplice to Susan's murder. Susan remains a missing person, but given the fates of her sons, it is widely believed that she was murdered by her husband, Josh Powell. And there were calls as of March last year to have her actually declared dead, with the cause being homicide. So that is the story of Susan Powell.
I am absolutely shook. I have goosebumps. I'm like disturbed, disgusted, and just shocked at the same time.
If you're about that Murder Monday life, make sure you listen every Monday at this time on Radio Now, The Joe and Alex Show. That is the story of Susan Powell.